Zach Stevens Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Zach Stevens Podcast. Today, I'm joined by my brother, my lifelong best friend, Ben Huey. What's up, Ben?
What's up, Zach?
He is he's an awesome singer-songwriter, eccentric, amazing voice, you know, and right now he's in his own solo project, putting out ambient music called Omni Sun. So we'll get into all that good stuff. But just want to say real quick, I'm sorry about the delay of episodes and the lack of content, but, you know, here we are, and sorry about that, and won't happen again. We'll try to keep it on a regular schedule, but yeah, so Ben, I'm so happy to have you here, dude.
I've been waiting for this for years.
Yeah, forever. I've talked about doing a podcast and doing stuff like this for a long time, and I wanted to have been on once I knew, you know, all the wheels were on the machine were working, and I'm so happy to have him. But I knew this episode would be a little bit harder than others because I know everything about Ben, and he knows everything about me. We've literally known each other since we were, I met you when I was 11 or 12, yeah. Moved in with his family when I was 13, and lived with him for 7 years. I didn't even play guitar or sing or any of the stuff I do now or even think about doing until I met Ben. So he's really like the catalyst for who I am. So there you go, guys. If you listen to this podcast, it wouldn't even be a thing, Butterfly Effect, without this guy. So I'm super grateful. And yeah, what do you have to say about all that?
I'm just so happy you're finally doing this. I've been looking forward to this forever, just like I was looking forward to stand-up comedy. I'm just happy you're branching out, and I think it's working really good. I think you have a natural knack for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, Zach has been in my life forever, and we know everything about each other.
Yeah, that's why, like, most people who come in here, musicians and, you know, I want to have some restaurant owners and just people involved in the scene here that I love and admire. I was like, well, I can ask them about their lives because I don't know anything about them besides, like, surface shit. And I was like, Ben, what do I even talk to this guy about? Like, we're peanut butter and jelly. I don't know. Tom and Jerry, they hate each other, though, really. We don't hate each other. go ahead.
They hate each other, but, like, they're the reason for each other's existence.
Yeah, and we've definitely hated each other.
Oh, I mean, yeah, like any, like, brothers would. Like, yeah. Growing up through puberty together.
And not just, like, brothers and living together, but bandmates.
Oh, yeah.
Which, that can add its own little level of stress and angst.
Angst. Teen angst is the word.
But,
And now we're just in our 20s.
Yeah, and now we're just chilling. We smoked a lot of weed, and now we're just, we love each other a lot. We're just doing great now. But I don't want to get too far into the episode without a little musical performance from Ben, because Ben was the front man of the band we were in around here called Native Forever, and still is. I mean, we don't play as much. But Ben was the first person to ever write a song in front of me and kind of show me the way. And he's always been a mastermind of, like, orchestrating music and hearing the sounds in his head. And you're going to play a tune, which you don't really do this often, right? Like, play singer-songwriter-style songs?
Yeah, I love these songs. Like, I just, ever since I was, like, 18 years old, I've been trying to write on, like, a synth-based,
like, yeah, type of thing. I feel like you're always thinking of the songs you're writing with a full band.
Also, I've had these songs forever, and I've wanted to get them out. And then feel like until they complete their cycle and they're released in whatever way. So I want to go back and revamp a lot of these songs that I've written all the way back to, like, being 15. This next song I'm about to play is one of the first songs I ever wrote. I was probably, like, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's pretty relevant now. And I just want to go back and revamp all these songs, like, with a full band eventually.
Yep.
In the studio and make them something worth listening to.
What's this one called?
This one's called Simply Undivided.
Let's hear it.
Mm-hmm.
people were symbol of hope. Symbol of hope. No color to divide us by. No border lines to divide us by. No religion to divide.
Oh, yeah. That's Simply Undivided by Mr. Ben Huey. And, dude, I love hearing that song, like, stripped down. Because for quite a while, we did that song. You can set that guitar anywhere you'd like, by the way. For a while, we did that song, you know, full band with a ton going on. Just don't worry about it. Just lay it anywhere. Sorry, guys. We're trying to figure out where to put the old guitar.
All right.
Yeah, talk to me about that song. Like, clearly it still holds up, even though you wrote it when you were 16, and like,
yeah, I feel like it's more relevant now
than ever,
you know, and those lyrics, you know, that was one of the first songs I really wrote, and there's like a whole second half that we did with the full band, but it just doesn't really work with an acoustic guitar.
I think it works great.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the first part, yeah, I would like to hear, I want to go back and rework it with a full band and see what we could do. But I love the acoustic version.
Yeah. I loved every second of that. And I think even if you do like a full band releases of everything, you should consider doing like acoustic releases of songs, because they're great.
I would love to do acoustic versions of, like, I just love when bands put out multiple versions of the same, like, idea.
Yeah, and yeah, I think anytime I find like an acoustic cover of a crazy song that has a ton of instruments in it, I'm always super, because I'm always thinking in my head, oh, I can cover this in my shows, I can do this.
Yeah,
like I heard a song I do now that I heard for the first time acoustic. I didn't even know it was a studio song. I didn't, and people are gonna hate me for this. I didn't know "You Can Call Me Al" by Paul Simon. I didn't even know what the song was. And I just hear Matt playing it acoustic. And then I listen to the track. And we're talking about Matt Robbins, by the way. Awesome musician here on Hilton Head Island. But, yeah, I love that shit. When people take a song that's clearly, like, orchestral or even just studio-worthy and strip it down.
It's the same expression from, like, a different perspective. Like, a different dimension. You know.
For sure. Well, talk to me about the most current project you're doing, Omni Sun, which you could honestly say is the complete opposite side of the spectrum of acoustic songs.
Yeah. So Omni Sun, I don't know. I've just been creating so much random like music in my studio. You know, I've been collecting these synths for a long time, as you know for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I have like your overflow synths at my house.
Yeah.
The synths that Ben doesn't have room for, they come here to be synthed on.
Yeah. So learning these synths, I pretty much started making a lot of just ambient meditation tracks. And so I put out my first track this summer, like back in June. And it's called Seeing Earth from the Moon. And it's just one of, it's just like a day of experimentation in the studio. It ended up being something I really enjoyed. And I was like, this is something I can put out. I have this right now. I'm just going to put it out.
And if I could describe this music to the listener, it's, and we'll plug the song at the end. We'll touch on that later. But this project that Ben's doing, it's like a culmination of ambient music and all of the Hans Zimmer tracks that we were inspired by listening to. Like, it's very, like, it's cinematic. I would call it cinematic. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a movie score. Like, that song, I feel like you could find it in, like, a somber moment in a Blade Runner movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah, that was my intention. I don't know how accurate it could be if I presented it to Denis Villeneuve and he was like, can you please put this song in your movie?
In Dune?
Oh, my God. What, like, oh. I'm super inspired by the Blade Runner soundtrack from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And Denis Villeneuve did the sequel to Blade Runner.
Yeah, director, by the way, if you're not familiar.
Yeah, and he's making Dune, and it's coming out in October. And Dune is one of my favorite books.
So, besides you know, music and recording and producing and all that, Ben is a very avid reader, which, guys, I read a lot of Wikipedia, but I'm not a book reader, and Ben is kind of inspiring me to get into the swing of books, and he told me to buy Dune, this novel from the 60s by Frank Herbert. It's a sci-fantasy? Did you call it sci-fantasy or sci-fi?
Sci-fi. It's under science fiction, but, like, you know, technical book nerds will argue that it's sci-fantasy. There's, like, a whole argument in the book world that science fiction is when, like, a futuristic technology is brought to humanity, and it shows how humanity deals with it.
And Denis Villeneuve, yeah, he's doing the new version of the movie. There was one in the 80s with, like, Sting that David Lynch did, and apparently it sucks, and all the Dune fans hated it.
Yeah, the 1984 Dune got a lot of backlash from.
Would you call it blasphemy?
I don't know. There's a lot of Dune fans that like it. I've never even gotten through it, so I can't make a super just statement.
Well, you said you got 8 minutes into it, and you were like, this is not like the book.
I got 8 minutes into it, and I was like, no, this is just not right.
Can I challenge you?
But yeah, what I can say is the music was really good.
It was dope? Okay.
Brian Eno did a lot of the music, and Toto did a lot of the music.
Did you say Brian Eno?
Yeah.
You know, Chase McCourt and Matt Stock are going to, this is going to be the new talk and discussion of their week on Facebook, that you just brought Brian Eno up.
I love Brian Eno.
He's pretty incredible.
I have his book. He's,
am I,
Brian
tripping?
Eno keyed the term ambient music.
He did?
Yes. Well, he's like the godfather of ambient music.
Am I, like, tripping, or did he produce Joshua Tree?
I don't know. But did he probably, honestly.
I gotta know this.
I have no idea, though. But Brian Eno, I'm super inspired by him. That's kind of one of the origins of my inspirations for Omnisun's ambient music.
No, that was Daniel Lanois and Brian Eno. Did they produce Joshua Tree?
Of course they
did. I knew they had some involvement, or he did.
Of course they did. I had no idea. That's why U2 has that ambience to them. Oh, and that's why I'm so inspired by U2. And you know that.
And I also love U2, but, you know, calling back to us living together forever, do you remember the sole reason why I used to hate U2?
Oh my gosh. When we were like 14 and 15 years old, Zach refused to listen to U2 because he hated Bono's sunglasses.
I was like, why is this guy always wearing glasses? What a douchey thing to do.
I was like, you don't understand, man. He's Bono. Like, he just does.
Dude, yeah. I don't know. Now I love him. I can't get enough of YouTube.
I mean, his
back
sunglasses
in the day,
are still corny no matter what.
I was just like, why? What
the
is
music it? Just makes up for it.
Yeah. I was, as soon as I heard Where the Streets Have No Name, I was like, I forgive you. I forgive you forever, Bono.
I'm just so happy we saw him in Bonnaroo. Were you there?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
On the Joshua Tree, like, revival tour.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
It was nuts.
That was amazing.
like 65-year-old Bono just comes sprinting at you.
Oh, yeah. They're like up there with way better conditioning than me.
Yeah, and the Edge is wearing a beanie with his like 8 stacks of electronic gear behind him.
And it's the fourth day of Bonnaroo, and my camelback's running out of water. And I'm really, really tired, but it's still an amazing show.
Yeah, they took it home for sure. That's what people say, take it home.
Yeah, I've never seen a show like that, honestly. You know, I've seen so many bands, and there's just a few bands that really have done it for me.
Dude, wait till you see Doja Cat.
I think I've actually seen Doja Cat. Honestly, I think I've actually seen Doja
Cat. Like on accident or just like walking through a fest or something?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Honestly, I think I saw Doja
Cat. I'm not hating on Doja Cat. I mean, she's doing her thing. I think it was just a funny joke in comparison to you two.
Yeah. I'd have to.
Okay, I got to challenge you. We're going to jump back to Dune real quick because I'm reading this book right now. Ben's done with it. The movie's coming out, and it's been a long time since I've read a book with a movie coming out in the future. I think the last time was maybe Percy Jackson.
And that was a disappointment.
And that was awful. So I challenge you to give me a 30-second rundown of Dune. I'm going to time you.
Whew, are you kidding me? Like...
No, we can go in depth. All right. I want a synopsis in 30 seconds.
All right, so Dune is set 20,000 years in the future. And 10,000 years before Dune, there was the Voltarian Jihad, which so all the technology in the world became sentient over time, which is what we're talking about now when we talk about AI. And this book was written in 1965. So Is it already 22 seconds?
Yeah.
See, I'm telling you, like, this isn't even in the story. This is, like, just lore.
The precursor.
This is just, like, the preface, you know? Like.
Well, so the story Dune follows here.
So, yeah, so this is the short synopsis. There's a planet called Arrakis, and in this universe, in this galaxy, there's different royal houses. The house that the family that is going to Arrakis
if you say,
of the story.
If you say Game of Thrones, if you say Game of Thrones style, you might get some people to read it.
It's just not Game of Thrones style, though. It's just different.
But the houses?
Like, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just...
You feel like you're doing...
It's such a layered story that makes...
Feels
so,
wrong.
Only makes sense if you read it. Because I can just say this royal family... goes to take over this planet because the emperor, you know, is giving them this planet, and it's a desert planet called Arrakis. And on Arrakis, there is no water. So water is the most valuable thing on Arrakis.
Mm.
And on Arrakis, there are the Harkonnens, which is another royal house, and they're
assholes.
They're the big bad douches.
Yeah.
And then there's the Fremen, which are the desert people.
Yeah.
And the desert people are really cool. But so water is the most valuable thing on this desert planet, and the Fremen pretty much worship water.
And if you don't mind if I input this tiny little thing that I think I may know, you can correct me. Basically, they're trying to mine this thing on Arrakis, the desert planet, called spice, which is like the fuel source for space travel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so this barren, the only reason they're on this barren planet with no water is the spice. And the spice, you know, they eat it, they put it in, like, it describes all these different types of food, but it's like a transcendental experience.
Yeah.
And then there's this, I don't want to spoil anything.
That's fine. And you will be doing the score to this movie?
I wish. Hans Zimmer's doing it.
That was
such a terrible description of Dune.
Do you feel bad now?
I just feel terrible. Like, no one's going to read it now. They're just like, what are you talking about?
No, I think
No, it's really awesome. It's Star Wars for adults.
There you go. That's all you really need to say. Wars for adults.
It's the most transcendental novel I've ever read. I'll just say that. Like, it really is an experience.
If you guys could see Ben's face and how, like, sincere he's being about Dune... I've had hour-long conversations with Ben outside of podcasting just about Dune.
Yeah. I'll just go on. And I've only read the first book.
Basically, the reason we're bringing this up is because this has been the focal point of the last couple months.
Dune shirt
Yeah, he's wearing a Dune shirt. And the movie's coming out, so...
It's just amazing. There's a lot of philosophy. There's a lot of transcendental experiences in the book regarding the spice. And there's also these things on Arrakis called the sandworms, which are like giant, giant sandworm, like worms in the desert.
Which have been used and referenced in pop culture before.
Like tremors, but on a way bigger scale. You know, this is 1965, way before. This is the first idea of this.
And any list that you look into of greatest sci-fi novels or greatest sci-fi stories, Frank Herbert's Dune is always in the top 10. Maybe even top 5. You could. It's like Orwell's at 84, Dune. What else is sci-fi, sci-fantasy?
The Foundation series.
Yeah, there you go.
Asimov.
Yep.
Hyperion.
What are you reading now?
I'm reading Dark Tower, The Gunslinger, the first book of Stephen King's.
Dude, I didn't tell you this. I thought I met Stephen King the other day at my gig.
Really? That's hilarious. I feel like
this guy,
you could honestly probably meet him.
We're in the middle of playing a set, me, Matt, and Nate at the same bar, and this guy looks just like Stephen King. He's walking by. I'd like stop doing what I'm doing. I look over. I say, Matt, I think it's fucking Stephen King. I think Stephen King's at the sandbar right now about to get a margarita. And he's like, shut the fuck up. And the guy sits at the bar all by himself and he starts drinking water. And I'm like, dude, that's Stephen King. Stephen King's sober. That's why he's drinking water. And then I like went up to him and he was just chowing down on some like fried plantains or something. Could you imagine if it was Stephen King? I was like, hey. And he just like, Stephen King died at the sandbar choking on a plantain because of me. I would never create again. But I asked him, I was like, hey, man. Sorry to interrupt your food. I know you're just hanging out.
Are you Stephen King?
I was like, no. I didn't say, are you Stephen King? I said, you look a lot like Stephen King. Do people ever tell you that? And he was like, oh, yeah, only like 1,000 times. He was like, it used to be Mick Jagger when I was younger. And I was like, oh, nice. So you're not Stephen King. And he's like, no, my name's Tom. and then I didn't fucking believe him.
No, that's Stephen King.
Yeah, and I went on my break, and then when the fellow left, and if he's listening to this, he might file a restraining order, because I went up to the bartender. I was like, hey, what did that guy's name on his card say? And the said bartender was like, he paid in cash. I was like, typical Stephen King. But And then I came back a couple days later to play a gig, and he was there again because he was on vacation. His name was Tom, and we did a shot of Hornitos together. It's not Stephen King. So I thought I met Stephen King, but turns out he was just a weary traveler here on Hilton Head Island, soaking up the sun.
Soaking up the sun and the fried plantains.
Yeah, man. I wish it was Stephen King. Could you imagine? I don't think Stephen King would like come watch me play all by himself, though. I wish.
I don't know what he does in his free time. I think he's just always writing books. He writes so fast. You know, when he's written like 65 books or something. He just came out with a recent book, and apparently he just gets better. Like, apparently his new books are his like best work.
Really?
That's what a lot of people have been saying.
Well, all I know is apparently he like wrote a lot of books that are now classics that he doesn't even remember writing because he was so coked up.
Oh, yeah. More than coke. I mean, he was doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, he's fucked up. I hear he wrote Cujo in like a night and doesn't even remember it.
It's one of the like longest books you ever read. It's like 1,000 pages or something. Yeah. And he wrote that. He says he doesn't remember writing most of it. And it's like a whole saga in one book. It's like that's a book people read if they're trying to prove to themselves that they're a reader, especially like that's a Stephen King challenge. But I have Stephen King's The Stand, and it's just like that. It's like 1,057 pages.
And you like The Dark Tower as well, right?
Yeah, I like The Dark Tower so far. I'm not too far into it. I just finished Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That was really good.
That's not Stephen King?
No.
Who's that?
Oh, it's by Douglas Adams. It's really good. They have like 5 books in that series, and a lot of times people just buy
that one,
like the whole saga book. But Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is definitely a classic. It's a quick read. It's only like 250 pages, and it's hilarious and so witty, and it's super philosophical too.
Yeah,
but it's so funny and just completely absurd, and it's kind of like that British humor type of feeling.
Just British guy,
like super dry humor, but it's super like wild.
Damn, I'm going to check that out. But
it's one of Elon Musk's top recommended books.
Oh yeah, I should listen to that guy. That guy's awesome.
Yeah,
but he's a little too avid on Twitter for a guy building rockets.
He likes being a meme lord.
Yeah, he's a jokester for a person trying to colonize Mars.
Yeah.
You would think that person would be just be a robot.
I wish we had a second person that was just as talented and smart and driven as Elon Musk that was focusing on Earth. Because yeah. I agree with Elon Musk's vision to get to Mars. I think that's cool.
You can't.
I think we just, as a galactic species that lives in space, I think it's...
You can't say Elon Musk isn't focusing on Earth, though, with Tesla. I mean, the whole point of Tesla is to eliminate fossil-fueled driven cars. Like,
yeah, I mean...
It's a big part of Earth.
And he does the solar... He's working on the solar roofs. And, like, he's working on a bunch of stuff like that. But, I don't know. I think his main focus is SpaceX. And his main focus is... He focuses a lot on Tesla.
Dude, I was listening the other day to him talking about this, and I'm probably going to butcher all this for any of my science-y friends. And
I have no idea what I'm talking about either, by
the way. We're both morons, by the way. Yeah. We're idiots.
I know what I'm talking about with Dune, but it did not sound like that.
Look, I can play his songs, and so could Ben. That's... I wouldn't say that's just about it. we're decent. But
this is me and Zach not taking each other seriously like we can never do because we grew up with each other.
But before I lose my train of thought, I was going to say, if we do end up going to Mars, did you know that there will only be like a window to get to Mars every
2 years?
Like every 2 years, because that's the only time that we're in a line for the fastest jump. Because if like Mars on the other side of the sun, you can't fucking just go to Mars. Yeah. I was very naive about that whole thing. I was like, oh, we'll just go to Mars, whatever. But the fastest that we can get there is anywhere from like 3 to 6 months.
It'd be really expensive, too.
Dude, I think this whole quarantine was just training for
Mars
space flight.
I don't know. See, there needs to be an Elon Musk. He needs to be doing what he's doing. In a perfect world, there'd be a ton of Elon Musks that focus on all kinds of different stuff that really enhance the world. But there are a lot of people that are doing that, and that's the thing. Elon Musk is just super famous and the richest guy in the world and super powerful. He's pretty much on top of the world right now.
What's it called in a like science fiction movies where they put him to sleep for long extended space travel? Cryo is like what athletes do.
Cryotherapy. I don't know, like something space hibernation.
Hypersleep?
Probably.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know. I got to watch 2001 again because that's what they do. But some of them don't wake up.
Oh, yeah. There's
no spoilers.
What's the AI called in 2001 Space Odyssey?
My goodness. Why can't I remember this right now?
This is I host trivia and I can't even fucking
remember. Well, Al's the spaceman. Al's the astronaut.
What's the thing called?
Hal's the astronaut. Not Al. What am I doing? The AI. I don't remember.
Oh my god.
But that's the best movie ever. I mean, that movie only came out 4 years. I'm exaggerating. There's tons of best movie evers. It's a thing. Like, there is no best movie ever.
You ever seen Blades of Glory?
Yes. I love that movie.
No, because the system is called Hal.
What?
His name's David.
Dude, I just need to walk out right now.
Yeah. It's fucking up.
Butch Dune. Butch 2001.
Stanley Kubrick fans are going to fucking castrate you.
I know. And here I am being like, it's the best movie ever. Don't even know the names of the characters.
Yeah. Best movie ever. Me and my awesome buddy, Matt Stock, we have come to the conclusion there's no such thing as, well, you know, everything has an asterisk when you're talking about your favorite because it's your opinion.
Yeah.
But whenever people are like, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite band? What's your favorite movie? I have to top 10 everything. Like,
yeah,
you got to top 10 shit, or at least top 5, because it's nearly impossible. Ben is walking away from me right now. Oh, he got cold. He's putting on a jacket. Yeah, so if anybody ever puts you on the spot with what is your favorite movie, do them another one. Give them your top 10. Make them listen to you.
But think about it for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Make them wait.
Walk away and come back.
Write him a letter.
Okay, I'm going to do it to you. Top 5 movies, go.
Well, in no order, I love this movie called The Fall. It's a great movie. I love Inception and Interstellar and pretty much anything Chris Christopher Nolan.
Chris Nolan. Anything Chris has done.
Anything Chris Nolan's done. My buddy Chris Nolan. All the Star Wars movies. Except for the sequels.
Five movies, you schmuck.
See, like...
But it's like Attack of the Clones.
No, Revenge of the Sith, if I had to say one Star Wars movie.
Fair enough. That's four.
I like sagas, man. I like Lord of the Rings saga.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ask me for my top five. I'm not just going to give them without an ask.
All right, what's your top five?
Okay, I'll go. The Dark Knight.
Christopher Nolan.
The Grand Budapest Hotel.
How did I say that?
Good Will Hunting. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I love Wes Anderson. I love anything Wes Anderson does.
Fight Club's good.
There's just so many good movies. Like, I can't be put on the spot.
Yeah, it's
awful. I have to, like, really think about it.
Oh, I like The Departed a lot. No spoilers.
I like The Departed a lot, too.
Departed. It's a good one. It's awful.
I haven't seen a lot of Scorsese movies, and that's something you've always been on to me about.
I'm a schmuck, too. I haven't seen a lot of them.
I haven't seen The Essentials.
Hey, do you like Woody Allen? Do you want to? First of all, the reason I bring it up is because he's going through a lot of shit right now with, apparently, like assaulting his daughter or whatever. But it's allegations, so I'm gonna skip that part. I'm just gonna tell you something funny about Woody Allen. So Woody Allen married a woman, and that woman had a prior stepchild who was an adopted Korean girl, and Woody Allen divorced the wife and then married his stepdaughter. So is Woody Allen guilty?
I think that's pretty weird.
Yeah, Woody Allen's a fucking creep. There's some Woody Allen like people that'll fight for him though. I don't know. I don't even think I've seen a Woody Allen movie, so I can't go there.
I honestly can probably say the same thing.
I just had to bring that up because I listened to another podcast the other day and I was like, that's fucking weird. Like, how do you? I don't know.
My top favorite movies, I feel like.
You just did them.
There's just so many. I just want to keep talking about them. There's like...
Oh, God, I know.
Like, Werner Herzog is my favorite documentary maker.
Mm-hmm. Great shit.
He has so many good documentaries. If you haven't seen a Werner Herzog film, you have to watch
it. Werner Herzog.
He's the guy in The Mandalorian that says, I would like to see the baby.
That is who that is. He's got like the Cave of Forgotten... What's that one called?
The Cave of Forgotten Dreams or something.
Yeah, and then there's...
Into the Inferno.
And there's one more that I love. Grizzly Man. You haven't seen that one yet, have you?
I have, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Seen. Grizzly Man about that dude, Timothy Treadwell. God, I'm just... Timothy Treadwell, and he's like... If you want to see some fucked up shit, this guy basically goes out to Kodiak Island in Alaska every spring... Every year for like 13 years and lives amongst wild grizzlies. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, he did very, very well for a long time until I guess there wasn't enough food or something.
Until life ran its course.
Yeah.
Eaten by a bear.
I mean, and his girlfriend.
Yep.
Him and his girlfriend. That's the fucked up part.
It sucks, yeah.
But it was really cool to see all his footage of like the first couple years because he was just chilling. With bears.
Yep.
And I don't know, I thought that shit was dope.
Crazy.
Very.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it'd be like to, like, just honestly go on a hike for, like, 6 months.
I can imagine what it'd be like to die from a bear.
Well, honestly, I can't imagine what it'd be like to die from a bear. That would be the most horrific way to die. One of the most horrific ways to die.
Yeah, no doubt.
Have you ever seen The Revenant?
Yeah, but apparently that movie's historically inaccurate.
I've heard that too.
Like, if anybody's ever seen The Revenant, he gets attacked in a rainforest. There's no rainforest in South Dakota.
Right.
That...
He got attacked in, like, a big field.
He got attacked in the Caligny Park, the one that just got built. Like, that's what it really looked like. If there was a creek running through Caligny Park and some, like, high brush... That's what that dude got attacked in.
Either way.
Either way, that motherfucker crawled.
Horrific, and he survived it. But Also, I don't think he, well, I don't want to spoil the movie for anybody who hasn't seen it, so I'm not going to go any further.
Well, no, yeah, I guess don't spoil it. Nobody likes
read the
spoiler.
Book.
Yeah, Michael Punky wrote The Revenant. The reason I say that is because I'm looking at it right now. But,
I just watched No Country for Old Men. That's a good one.
When are you going to hike the AT?
I've always wanted to. I think I'll probably end up doing it in sections. But I have to do this music stuff first, man.
Yeah.
I have to put out some music. That's why Omnisun's so important to me right now. And, you know, I'm just ready to get the ball rolling with my creative projects, you know.
I think we're all ready for that.
I think we are. I think
I'm
I think
so pumped. The day that you sent me that track, I was like, oh, fine. Like, fuck yes. Like, Ben put something out. I'm so happy. I loved it. I listen to it often, especially if I'm doing like a little late night shavasana, a little late night yoga stretch out. I've told you before, I play that. It's just a good 7-8 minute long, beautiful, score worthy like ambient track.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, like, what stalled me for a long time for putting anything out, you know, I still haven't put a second song out, but I have a ton of music I want to release this year.
You sent me something the other day, yesterday, I believe.
Yeah. But what stalled me for so long for just putting anything out was a name. I just had no idea what I wanted to put my music out under because I didn't want to use my name.
Let's go over a quick list of names that we've used in the past as acoustic trios and duos on the island. We've been the Truth Turtles.
The Truth Turtles. Ocean Monks.
We've been Ocean Monks. We've been
Native.
Native.
But Native has had two different spellings. Native has been spelled the right way, like N-A-T-I-V-E. But when we were like 17, we were like, there's way too many bands named Native. So we spelled it N-A with like the two dots above the A. N-A-Y-T-I-V.
How could that backfire?
Well, yeah, that's real great.
You like this band name? Just wait. Just wait until we make it unpronounceable. And then you just have people in your band's DMs and they're like, we'd love to have Native at play our da-da-da-da-da, our oyster roast.
Yeah.
I'll tell my grandkids about that. Like, Grandpa, did you make it in music? No, but I played an oyster roast.
Oh, yeah.
I played Steer It Up at an oyster roast.
So many times.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not bashing playing music at oyster roast.
Oyster roasts are honestly the best gigs ever because you get to eat a bunch of oysters. They're always like every oyster roast I've ever played.
You get to eat an aphrodisiac and play John Mayer.
Yeah.
Come on, man. No, I'm totally kidding, kinda. I mean, I'm not hating on the fact that we get to do these beautiful things. I'm just saying, when you kind of want to do a little bit more, it just seems funny in like retrospect.
Yeah, well, when I spend, you know. When you spend a bunch of time in the studio and you're making something completely not what I do around here for gigs.
Right? That's like the weirdest part.
It's just, it's kind of like just a creative dynamic it's weird, but.
It's probably really hard to work on an ambient track that could be featured in a film and then go out and then for 3 hours somebody's like, play Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, what I realized this past year after we didn't have those gigs right when the pandemic
hit. Fortunate. Lucky.
I've never complained since, you know, it's.
Yeah, gigs have been
really
a treat.
It's the best, easiest job in the world. We're literally playing music. It doesn't matter what song it is. It's awesome.
As soon as you take your soul out of it.
Yeah. As soon as you don't take it seriously. But, I don't know.
I still find
there's
myself.
There's definitely a lot of, like, gigs I love playing around here. And
yeah, man. Like. I get lost sometimes at the sandbar because, like, I'm actually truly enjoying what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's, we're very fortunate.
Extremely.
I want to put as much emphasis as I can on that I'm not hating what I do.
Right.
And I know you're not, too.
It's just the
like
dynamic from the studio.
Yeah. And a lot of people
isn't bad. It's just sometimes it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah. And there's a lot of must-be-nicers. In our lives too, like, oh, must be nice playing music. Must be nice. I'm like, well, you don't understand that if I go in, I don't want to shit on anybody's job, so I'm not going to say a specific job. But if I go and do X, So there's a lot of stuff that you can kind of just stay in your own head and not really talk to people for and right. work. Whereas like when you're an entertainer and you're the like you're in front of people, you almost always have to have a smile on your face or be on your A game, even yeah. when you don't feel like it. And that's my only downside of doing it.
Yeah, and every eye's on you, and it's 7 days a week and full season. But yep. you know, like
it's hot.
It's hot.
You have gold bond in your car, hopefully. And then when you don't, it just gets worse from there.
But I don't know. As I, you know, I started playing gigs when I was 14 around here, and I think I just got burnt out too early of playing a lot of gigs and trying to do a lot of other stuff.
You're an old soul, Ben Huey.
But
how many times did you hear that in your life?
Too many.
Ben, you're an old soul.
Because it's not true.
Come on, guys. I'm 21. I'm just trying to egg.
Yep. No, I'm really looking forward to it. It feels like this is the first year I've really felt like creatively I can move forward with my life and my art. And these songs I really have a deep attachment to because, you know, there's the new stuff I've been making, which is more on the ambient side. But I also want to find a way to bridge the gap between what I'm making now and what I've made, you know, and what, like, we wrote with Native and see what we can do. Because those are still not bad songs. We just need to rework some of them.
Yeah, and if you had a funny element to it all, I think we've both learned if we don't put stuff out, we'll hate ourselves.
Absolutely. Yes.
Like, if I don't work and at least try to do something in this year, I will hate myself.
Well, so. You know what? The thing is, like, working hard is what life is about. Like, that's fulfilling.
That's why we're in these bodies.
Filling up your schedule and your day with positive, you know, nothing grows from stillness. You need motion.
Yeah.
The first album I'm going to put out is going to be called Motion. Mm. So because that's like the philosophy behind, that's kind of been motivating myself to just get out of this deep rut.
Is that going
to
be ambient based?
Originally I wanted it to all be ambient music and I was just working on ambient music, but it's just, there's just more I have to say. I don't know.
Yeah. Got to put some words on that.
I know I have to do more for myself or I'll be disappointed.
I mean, one of your favorite albums ever is Hurry Up, We're Dreaming by M83, and that features a whole wide array of music. There's ambient tracks, there's like fillers, there's talking tracks, and then there's fucking songs. Mm-hmm. Like it's you may go that route, put out a double album.
that's kind of what I'm trying to do, but I have enough songs for two short like album EP type things. Like enough, I have like 15 songs. And I want to release like two albums of like, you know, 7 or 8 tracks.
Yeah. Ben, when was the first time you realized like, oh, I like to sing and I like to play music?
Like ever since I was ever since I can possibly remember, I've just been surrounded by music and music's been absolutely forced down my throat.
By
parents. Well, my mom.
I was just about to ask, who like encouraged the music in your family, already knowing the answer?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know more than anyone. It's Mia Huey.
If it wasn't for that lady, like the butterfly effect I stated earlier, if it wasn't for Mia Huey, what the fuck would I be doing? I wouldn't be sitting here with guitars around me.
My mom used to put me to bed at 7 o'clock every night so she could stay up and turn music on really loud and listen to Bob Seger and Journey and CCR like all the way up.
That's where the voice comes from.
And I like just fell asleep to Journey every single night.
My dad and stepmom would fight when I was in fuck you. And I was like, oh wow. I'm just kidding. It wasn't that, but that was like once a week.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we've all dealt with that.
I love them both though. God, I'm not hating. I mean, I think a lot of people going through that. It gives us character.
Yeah.
That's why I like funny shit. It's
part of the music.
Yeah, and if I could tell a really quick story, the first time I ever met Ben was because I was totally convinced that we were going to win the X Factor. We went
this
to school.
Was 7th grade.
Yeah, 7th grade. I was totally convinced that me and Ben Hugh were going to win the X Factor. So I invited him over to my house. I didn't sing. I didn't play guitar. I don't know what I thought I was doing. I was just a liaison for our success. And I had Ben come over, and I was like, do it. He just played a couple songs.
I played Free Falling.
Yeah, he played a couple songs for me, and I was like, yep, and I'm going to stand right behind you. I sang a little bit, but I knew nothing about harmony, or I just sang like Lionel Richie and Justin Bieber songs in my shower. But so Ben came over to that, and I think we immediately were friends because I was just in awe. I was like, whoa, this dude plays guitar and sings. And his family invited us out on the boat, and that was an awesome day because I lived here for like 4 years and I didn't even know we had a river or water. And we didn't do a lot, really. But I went out with his family, and then I ended up crashing at Ben's house one of those nights. And one of the first things Ben ever did, he had like Jimi Hendrix posters. His room was like dimly lit, and it was kind of like red and shit. You know, total opium den or something.
Something like that.
Even though we were like 14, totally didn't do that shit.
Yeah.
But we never have done that shit. But disclaimer. But Ben played The End by The Doors, like, this is the end.
I turned all the lights off, too.
Yeah, he turned all the lights off, and I was like, what the fuck am I getting into?
Oh, yeah. Those are the days.
I was like, what the fuck? Where am I? What am I doing? This isn't Bob Marley.
The End is, like, one of the Doors' like, most expansive, scariest, trippiest songs.
That's when I knew, too. I was like, oh, Ben's different than all my friends. It's like, Ben doesn't really, like... I was about to say, well, Ben's not really like a jock or sports guy at that time, but you were. Ben played lacrosse.
Yeah, like, played lacrosse and football.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't believe me when I tell them that because I was the size I am now when I was 14. Like, I peaked right there physically. Like, and I was
this
just
kid's gonna be
everybody.
A stud.
I was defensive MVP for 3 years in a row in junior varsity football.
Can you say go Bobcats?
Dude, my password is still Bobcat123.
Ben, you just give your password out?
I didn't give the full one out, but...
Okay, cool, I got you.
That's kind of the gist.
Well, I think you know where 123 goes to, folks.
Maybe surprise.
But,
I'm going to change my freaking password now.
Yeah, but, God, yeah, what a ride it's been. And, I mean, so I had a weird living situation because my... around the time that I met Ben, my dad and my stepmom split, and I found myself in a weird place in my life, and we sold our house, and that whole little picturesque family thing kind of dissipated, and I moved to the underside of Ben's house.
So, yeah, my parents' house is on stilts, the house I grew up in, so it's on stilts, and underneath it is a carport and, like, a separate apartment.
Yeah, two-bedroom apartment with a bath, and I moved in there with my dad. And life got real weird real quick. And I, like, learned guitar. I used to strum.
Learn guitar and surpassed my guitar skills by miles extremely fast.
Well, I think the reason I jumped into guitar and, like, went head over heels with that is because I wasn't really ready to use my voice. I was pretty insecure. So I just learned, like, the blues because a lot of those dudes, that's how they talk, you know? That's how I talked for a little bit. And I used to make Ben tune an acoustic guitar to open D, which is, like, the Mumford & Sons tuning. And I would just sit there and just strum it so hard and, like, I'm sure it had to have annoyed you a little bit.
No. No, I was hopeful.
Yeah.
I was happy.
So.
I just remember the mandolin days.
Small beginnings. Yeah, that was fun. I found a tweet from, like, 2015 the other day. It was like, me and Ben are playing at the infield in Bluffton. That's where Calhoun's is now. And, I mean, God, I can only imagine how bad I was. Ben was... doing just fine on course, but weird small beginnings, and then we met Grayson Lentz and Davis Lentz Aaron Lentz.
So we meet these boys, and there comes Native.
Yeah,
and there was this little, like, storage room underneath my parents' house that got so humid and so hot.
Terrible for instruments.
Like, the worst environment for music equipment. We put all of our music equipment in there and practiced in there, like, every single week, and started playing gigs around here. And we were, like, 15, 16, 17. Grayson was 17. I was 15.
I was 14.
Yeah.
David was 14.
Yep.
Or 15. Yeah.
And we played an Oyster Roast for our first gig.
No, it was a Bluffton Sunset Party.
Oh, yeah. Well, same thing, basically.
Yeah, pretty much the same shit.
At the Oyster Factory.
But, man.
And now we're here.
now we're here. We don't play in native as much, but we had a long run. I mean, God, we played so many boardroom shows, so many big, like...
We all have our own...
Shelter Cove thing. We're all doing our own thing.
Like we're all doing...
We all still chat, so that's good. We don't hate each other.
Yeah.
But Grayson is currently up in Charleston doing an awesome thing in a project called Greg Keys and Company, and that's, like, a lot of fun. Ben and I both have been following that. We've visited him a couple times and seen what's up with that. But hopefully I can get him in here to talk about that shit. Maybe even get Greg to tag along with him.
Yeah, dude, we should do
that. I don't know why they don't come up here and play gigs. Probably because Charleston's dope.
Yeah, because they can just play at Charleston.
And then Davis. I don't even want to get in with that guy. Davis is slowly becoming a virtuoso musician, keys and sax, but is just engulfed by his hours of video game playing.
He's so good, though.
He's good at everything he does.
He's so incredibly talented at video games and music.
Yeah, good for that guy. Sounds like an easy life.
I think he's the only person I know that's actually made any sum of money off video games.
Yeah, $700 in earnings, bro.
It's pretty cool.
God bless him.
I have just been on this video game binger of Skyrim for the first time. I've just played through Skyrim for the first time, and I've just been obsessed with it. And I'm not a video game person. I'm playing Skyrim on my girlfriend's Nintendo Switch.
I played Skyrim when it came out. Yeah, Skyrim is so fucking good, though, that I, like, don't blame me for playing it now and getting into it so late. Because it's like being the focal character, like the focal point of a Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh, yeah, it's literally like an interactive book that you
can... Yeah, that's a great way of putting
customize it. Customize your own character and customize your own story. Because there's so many different ways of... experiencing Skyrim.
Yeah. We left a part out of the native story. The introduction of Nathaniel Douglas.
I know how. I just keep jumping around.
Oh, me too. But Nate Douglas joined our band, and Davis went over to full-time keys and sax. And
yeah, originally, Davis played drums.
Yeah, Davis was our drummer. What an element that Nate guy added in many ways. Right?
To everybody on Hilton Head now.
God, Nate's in every band. Every single fucking band.
He's such a talented.
I won't even have time to get him in here. I'll be playing a gig.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm having him. He's actually coming and recording some drums with me and John Cranford here soon.
Progress. I love that shit. I love that, like, the album and your music is coming together, because I've wanted that for a really long time.
You know, it's been this music and these songs have just been the focal point of my life since I was probably like 15, 16, 17. And to the point where I'm just kind of one side, I'm sick of them. Another side, I'm so happy I've waited to put it out and to work on them fully until like now, since I kind of have a little understanding of what I'm doing in the studio, and I kind of have a better understanding of the music and the vision that I want wholly for my music and my project. And I think somewhere along the lines of meeting, you know, those raw native songs with these mass-produced, like, high-scaled ambient songs and cinematic songs, I think there's some middle ground in there that hasn't really been explored that much that I want to explore.
Yeah, you should. And I don't even think I brought this up, but, like, you know, I know this, but the people listening don't know this. Like, what musicians do you draw inspiration from?
Oh, well, you know, our god is Kevin Parker.
Kevin Parker from Tame Impala.
From Tame Impala. I love Tame Impala. M83. There's this band called Sigur Rós. They're an Icelandic band, and they invented their own language for their music. And they're one of my favorite bands in the world. They use a big symphony, and it's just so beautiful.
They're nuts.
I love all kinds of music, man. I love Pink Floyd, and there's so much classic. We were just listening to Tom Sawyer by Rush before we got on here, and it's like the best song ever.
I know. I was about to say, before we started this episode, well, Ben and I, we did about 3 intro takes because...
We couldn't
stop laughing. Yeah, we looked at each other, just fucking die, which is what we do all the time. And I was like, "Hey, man, we got to do this."
Like, we got. I'm trying really hard to reel it in right now.
Yeah, this is still troublesome, but we listened to Tom Sawyer full blast before this started, and then we did some breathing exercises, which we didn't get through.
Yeah, because we couldn't stop laughing through the breathing exercises.
But we did a little dive on, like, music, listening to 80s music, and then like Duran Duran and
I think we listened to some Footloose soundtrack songs.
Whip it.
Whip it. Yeah, Devo. Who was with it? We listened to that. And then we were talking about, which I don't know, I thought this was cool, but how like happy and energetic that music is. And it's so crazy that the next thing that happened musically and sonically was fucking grunge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that transition is so crazy. The transition from the like glamorous 80s to the raw 90s. But 90s still has a lot of like, glamorous music. I can't deny that. But grunge was something so... It was such a new expression at the time.
And anybody can, like... You know, there will be a lot of people that will help us out with this. And because I'm super wrong. But if you can recommend me any emo 80s bands, I would love... Like, I mean, is like Tears for Fears kind of like emo or sad boy?
I don't know. It's just like alternative, like...
Yeah.
I'd say emo is like Joy Division.
But is that 80s? That is 80s, yeah. Right?
But they, I mean, there's a lot of dark stuff from back then, but...
The Smiths kind of dark or no?
Smiths are more...
alt?
Like, whiny alt. No! I love the Smiths, though. They're good.
Morrissey and shit.
I love 80s music. There's just so much good stuff to say about music.
Throw me that everywhere. Sad Boy 80s if you're listening. If you know any of that Sad Boys 80s shit, throw it our way. Because... I love that shit. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, because it just jumps straight into super grungy stuff.
Yeah. But that kind of also blossomed out of just the hard rock of the 80s, too.
And then what the hell happened?
Yeah, what happened? I think music's in a good place right now.
Well, rap and R&B got really good in the late 90s, early 2000s.
And it's great rap.
That stuff got amazing, but, God, I feel like... Alternative rock and shit just completely fell off the fucking deep end. I mean, not solely, but...
There's just so many bands now that a lot of bands kind of just start sounding the same.
I think music's good, though, now.
But,
man.
You know, I can't really complain because they have more songs out than I do. You know?
That's where I always go. I'm like,
it's like always
who
the
am
end
I?
Point. It's like, you can't really say anything until
who
you
the
prove yourself, you know?
Fuck am I to talk shit about an artist?
We have to curate our own opinions, though, in order to create our own expression.
Yeah, you're right. Well, how you feeling? We're probably about an hour in, right?
Something like that.
Chilling. Well, we decided that instead of doing a second live performance of an acoustic song and Ben doing, you know, something for the program, we're just going to plug the MP3 of his Amniant song, because I don't think you could do that live, could you?
No.
It sounds like you're doing the Grand Budapest Hotel soundtrack.
I wish I wrote that. That would honestly be the best movie to score ever.
Yeah. That's it's so fun.
I would love to score a Wes Anderson movie. If you haven't seen Grand Budapest Hotel, please watch it if you're listening. You would love it.
Yeah, or any of his work for that
any
matter.
Wes Anderson
so
work.
Fun and quirky, and he's wonderful. But, yeah, so we're gonna plug the song at the end, "Seeing Earth from the Moon" by Omnisun, Mr. Ben Huey, and I had a lot of fun talking to you, dude. Well, this will happen again because Ben and I barely scratched the surface of the things that we could go into.
Barely, yeah. I definitely would like to give a do Dune justice, but we should do a special like Dune
well, before the movie comes
after
out.
I want to read a couple more books. Like, I want to get through. At least Dune Messiah.
When's the movie come out? September? October?
October.
We'll do one. I mean, we'll probably do one. Another pod before that. But we should do a Dune special with you and maybe another person who's read Dune by then. That'd be fun to get a third opinion because I'm an idiot.
We should also do an ancient civilization special.
Oh, yeah. We should get a historian on. Who do we know? Martin Lesh?
I don't know. Anybody else that knows about this stuff is willing to jump on. Like, anybody else that loves Graham Hancock, let me know. Let's do a podcast.
Yeah, if you're into the history shit, maybe we can get Decker on with us.
Decker would be great.
Yeah.
You need to do your podcast, just you and Decker.
Oh, gosh, I'm not smart enough.
Yeah, you are.
Maybe, I don't know, it'd be fun. He's one of my best friends, but God, that dude fucking he loses me sometimes because he's just talking about shit. He's like talking about crypto and where I should put my money for the long run. What the fuck are you talking about?
It's like...
I just learned a Paul Simon song, buddy. Like
I would listen to you, but I literally can't stop listening to Paul Simon.
Yeah, I would love to hear you talk, but I just figured out Paul Simon did something after Simon and Garfunkel. So
yeah, a little busy, buddy. Extremely exuberant, positive human being.
Amazing.
Love talking to that guy.
Yeah.
And his mom runs a great restaurant.
One Hot Mamas. Please go eat there. It's awesome.
Best Good. Wings in town.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're going to wrap this one up, and I had a blast, and we're going to try to keep these, or I am going to keep these regular, so I really, really appreciate you, Ben. I love you, dude.
Love you too, Zach.
But this is called, oh, well, I guess that's it. We're wrapping up. I want to say bye, but I wanted to lead right into the song, so.
All right.
Thank you guys so much. Ben, anything left you got to say before we play this track?
I guess I'm supposed to plug my music. Just you can find this song on Spotify and Apple Music or Tidal or any YouTube or anything you want. And this year I'm going to be releasing a lot more music. So, yep.
You heard it here first. Ben's got to put music out now because he said it on air. So we really appreciate you guys. And thank you so much for listening. I'm Zach. This has been Huey. And this is Seeing Earth from the Moon by Omnisun. Thank you, guys.